So, you know, as Klal Yisrael sort of entered into the desert, into the Midbar, for the beginning of those 40 years, so we know that we entered in with a song, right? Az Yashir Moshe Bnei Yisrael, the splitting of the sea by Kriyas Yamsuf, so Klal Yisrael with Moshe Rabbeinu sang a song, and that's Az Yashir that we say every day. It's interesting, just as we went into the desert with a song, not everyone knows this, but we actually left the 40 years of the desert also with a song. In this parsha, you know, it's only been a couple weeks, but it's been 40 years, you know. Two parshas ago, we had the spies, and the decree of the 40 years wandering the desert. And this week, it's already after 40 years. And the whole story of the parsha of the Jewish people need water, Moshe Rabbeinu hits the rock, instead of speaking to it, it's a whole maisa. After that's over, the pasuk tells us that the Jewish people sang a song. And this is the final song that we sing as we sort of leave the desert into Eretz Yisrael. And this was a song, instead of about the sea that split, it's a song about that rock, the spring that came out of the rock. It says in Pasuk, Az Yashir Yisrael Sashir Azayis. Then the Jewish people sang this song, Ali Berenula. Now when you compare and contrast the song that we sang, the song of the sea, as we entered into the Midbar, versus the song of the spring that we sang leaving the Midbar, there's a couple very, very obvious differences. First of all, just the volume of the psukim. Az Yashir is very, very long. It's pretty long. Whereas the song of the spring, the Shiras HaBe'er, is only a few psukim. It's only a few psukim. So in terms of quantity, the song of the Be'er, Shiras HaBe'er, is much smaller than Shiras HaYam. That's number one. And the other very clear and most obvious difference is how it begins. By the song of the sea, Az Yashir, it starts with Az Yashir, Moshe of the Bnei Yisrael. Then Moshe and the Jewish people sang a song. Whereas the Shiras HaBe'er, the song of the spring, it's Az Yashir Yisrael. The Jewish people sang the song, but Moshe is nowhere to be found. So on this second difference, again, of Moshe Rabbeinu being involved in the Shiras HaYam, but his absence in Shiras HaBe'er, so Chazal make the following point. It's very interesting. Chazal say in the Medrash that this can be compared to the following mashal. Let's say you have a small child in school, right? So the kid's in first grade, whatever it is, first, maybe a little bit of second grade, and he's learning how to read, he's learning how to learn Chumash. And so the way it is that the Rebbe says, and the child repeats. The Rebbe says, Vaydavar shal Moshe Lemar, and the child repeats. The Rebbe says, the child repeats. But as the child gets older, then the child is able to read on his own. Say Chazal, that's exactly what was going on. When we first entered into the Midbar, when we first started off, you know, as the Jewish people, and we sang a song, the Shiras HaYam, so we weren't old enough, we were immature, we were children, so to speak, on a national level. And we needed our Rebbe to read for us, and we'll repeat. Az Yashir Moshe Ubnei Yisrael. Moshe said, and we repeated. Moshe says, and we repeat. But after 40 years, Klal Yisrael sort of developed and matured into adults, and then it's Az Yashir Yisrael, we can read on our own. That's what he says. Right, so we have to understand, again, it's a general principle that all of Torah is teaching us something about ourselves, how to grow in our own Yiddishkeit right now. And so what do we learn from that, you know, from these two songs and the differences between them? Right, so there's a Torah that we have from the Mittler Rebbe, the second Lubavitcher Rebbe. It's a very, very important Torah. And he says the following thing. He says, you know, it's basic human nature. The Rebbe Shalom created us in a certain way where a person can experience certain things which are enjoyable and geschmack and very, very nice. But there's something special when you experience something new, a chiddush. It's natural and normal for people to enjoy chiddushim, something, a new experience. And even if something is a very nice experience, but it gets old, you know. I remember like a bunch of years ago, I was in Utah. And there's a lot of great like hiking and like unbelievable, beautiful, beautiful, stunning scenery in Utah. And I remember I was like on a hike in Utah over there. And I met up with someone who was also hiking. And this is a guy who like lived and grew up in Utah. Like that's, he was like a mountain guy. You know, that's where he lived. That's where he grew up. And I was telling him, I'm from New York. So he's like, oh, he would love to travel to New York to visit New York. Because he hears that Central Park is like gorgeous. So I'm thinking to this guy, you're in the middle of like Zion, whatever it is, I think Zion. Like Mamish, like stunning, stunning stuff. And you're hawking about Central Park in New York City. But there's such a thing. The guy grew up in Utah, so he sees these things from the time he's a little kid, so it's not a chiddush. It's not a chiddush, he gets used to it, you know what I mean? Like, to go to Barbados is amazing, but if you lived in Barbados, it's still very nice, but it's like, it's not as exciting. And to go to New York, Brooklyn is like, wow. You know, that's the way it is. So the Rabbanu Shlomo created us in such a way where we feel excitement and we feel a certain pleasure when we experience a chiddush, something new, something different, something something out of nowhere. You know what I mean? Something out of our regular, you know, normal experiences. Then that's telling us something in Avodas Hashem. So everything we experience is a reflection of the Ribbono Shel Olam. You know, we have to learn from that how to serve Hashem. Well, if what gets us excited is experiencing something new, something different, then it must be that if we're going to make Hashem happy, what gets Hashem excited, so to speak, is also something new. So therefore, that means that in our Avodas Hashem, in our service of the Ribbono Shel Olam, we have to try to offer Him something new. Something new to get Him excited, so to speak. And so how do we give Him something new? Like, you know, to mamish create something new, we can't do. Human beings are not able to do such a thing, to make something out of nothing, right? Only God can do that type of trick. So what does it mean to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam? What can we do to give Him something different, something new? So said the Rebbe like this. He said, what's the nature of a chiddush, the nature of something new, of a new experience? The nature of a chiddush is something that was completely unexpected, right? That's what it is. When you turn the corner and like, well, I did not expect to see that. That's a chiddush. That's a chiddush. So said the Rebbe like this. The type of chiddush that we can offer the Ribbono Shel Olam is as follows. Is the Ribbono Shel Olam puts in places that might not be the most conducive to serving the Ribbono Shel Olam, to finding Him, to being holy and to find holiness and to do holy things. But if we're able to be in those types of environments, and despite the bombardment of craziness, the bombardment of confusion, the bombardment of coarse physical life, if we're able to somehow break through all of that and to have some level of clarity, some level of connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam in those crazy places, there's no greater chiddush than that. There's no greater chiddush than that. So the Baal Tanya says, see, what's the difference between an ocean, between the sea and a spring? What's the difference? So he said, it's interesting. When you look at those two bodies of water, so an ocean is vast. I mean, the quantity of water in a sea and an ocean is like, it's unimaginably great. Whereas a natural spring that comes out of the ground, I mean, volume-wise, it might not be that amazing. But it's interesting. With all the great volume of the waters of the ocean, it's still all salty, and it doesn't give life. Whereas the waters of a spring, although it's very small in volume, but those are clear, pure waters that are able to sustain and give life. How did those waters become pure? How did those waters become pure? So you know that scientifically, what happens is, because the waters are placed beneath the surface of the earth, and are completely surrounded and bombarded with the opposite of clarity, the opposite of cleanliness, with rocks and sediment and dirt, and the water has no choice but to fight against that sediment, to fight against those rocks, and to claw its way upwards, that's exactly what purifies the water. And so it's interesting. By the time the water is able to muster the strength to break through the surface, what comes out when it does break through the surface, it's only a few drops. And in terms of comparing that to the sea, it's very, very small in number. But whatever does make it through the surface is absolutely pure. Not only is it pure, therefore, it's a chiddush. It's a chiddush. It's an unbelievable chiddush. Because who would have expected purified, clean, healthy, life-giving waters to emerge out of filth? No one would have expected such a thing. Whereas the sea, that's where you would probably normally think to expect life-giving waters, but it's not. It's specifically waters that are placed beneath the surface with the opposition of everything that's opposed to cleanliness and purity. And it's forced to fight against that and to sort of claw its way upwards against the regular flow of gravity. It goes against the current and moving upwards, finding its way, finding cracks and crevices to the surface. Not only is it a chiddush, but that's also what purifies the waters. And those waters are life-giving. This is a klal and rule of creation. That it's specifically by being put in a position that's opposed to life-giving waters, that's exactly what forces life-giving waters out. Give you an example. You know, there's a famous story in the Gemara. The Gemara says that two great Tamid Chacham, two great Amoraim that were not only brother-in-laws, but they were also best friends, Chavrusas, Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. And so there's a whole story in the Gemara how Rish Lakish passed away suddenly, and Rabbi Yochanan was left without his best friend. And the Gemara says that not only was it a tragedy because he lost his best friend, his brother-in-law, and just the tzaddik Rish Lakish, but he also lost his chavrusik. Now he didn't have anyone to learn with. So the Gemara says that it was bothering Rabbi Yochanan very much that he didn't have a study partner anymore. And so the Gemara says that his students, elected the great Rabbi Lazar to be his new chavrusa. Skavaldik, Rabbi Lazar was a big Talmud Chacham too. And the Gemara says Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lazar sat down to learn. And as they're learning, Rabbi Yochanan becomes even more depressed over the loss of his old friend, Rabbi Reish Lakish. Why? So he said, because listen, when I sat down with Reish Lakish to learn, I would say an idea, and Reish Lakish would attack me with 24 kashas. And said Rabbi Yochanan, and whenever he attacked me, I was forced to dig deep within myself to find an answer. And mitoich kach, and from my idea, and his opposition to my idea, Rav Cheshmaitzer, we came out with the truth. But you, Rabbi Lazar, he says to his new chavrusa, every time I say something, you just bring me proofs to that I'm right. I don't need to hear that I'm right. I know I'm right. I need to hear that I'm wrong. I need to be bombarded with filth and sediment to force the waters that are not 100% purified to become purified. And then what emerges out of that is a chiddush. It emerges out of that, which it's something that might not be as quantitatively vast. But that kernel of truth that's able to make its way through all the kashas, that kernel of truth is absolutely true. And that kernel of truth is a chiddush. And if I offer that idea to the Rabbanu Shalom, that's an idea that the Rabbanu Shalom takes unbelievable delight in. Because the Rabbanu Shalom looks at this world and says, wow, out of that crazy situation, that crazy environment, he was able to come up with that truth. That's a chiddush. Not only is that a chiddush, is that something new that the Rabbanu Shalom has unbelievable nachas ruach from, but it's also something that the human being appreciates much more. Because it's something that you worked on. It was something that you acquired with your own hard work and hard effort to claw your way to the surface of the earth. It's one thing for the rainwaters to come down from heaven and like you're an ocean. Okay, fine. That didn't come with opposition. It didn't force you to fight against anything. But it's specifically when a person is forced to become a spring, where you have everything that's opposed to health and happiness and spirituality, and you have no choice but to fight against that. And by the time you get to the finish line, you're crawling on your hands and knees. And most of you is left behind. But whatever does make its way to the finish line, that's true, it's real, it's pure, and it's yours. And so this is what's going on in the parsha. In the beginning, when the Jewish people are at our youth, we're children. So we have no choice. We don't have the strength to deal with so much opposition. So when a person is young, so to speak, then they have no choice but to be given everything on a silver platter. And that's the song of the sea. So we certainly appreciate that. Moshe says, we repeat. Moshe says, we repeat. None of our own ideas. It's everything Moshe says, and we're just repeating. And that's the way of a child. And it's interesting. That's beautiful, it's amazing, and it's vast. The information, the levels that Moshe Rabbeinu can give us on his own without us having to work for it, it's unbelievable. But with all that being said, first of all, it's not ours, and it's not pure. But after 40 years of being in the desert, 40 years of being bombarded with filth and sediment and forcing us to redefine ourselves, and forcing us to think differently about our situation, and forcing us to fall and to have the strength to get back up, and to claw our way against gravity, and to eventually break through the surface, so then not only what emerges out of that is absolutely pure and real and authentic and true, it's yours, you've acquired it, and it also gives the Rabbanu Shalom unbelievable simcha, like experiencing something that he never would have expected. The Rabbanu Shalom, it's not a chiddush to him, Az Yashar Maisha V'nei Yisrael, that's not a chiddush. Az Yashar Yisrael, the song of the well, that's a chiddush. And so although the song of the well is much smaller in terms of quantity, it's just a few psukim. Az Yashar is an ocean. Shir HaSabe'er, the song of the well, it's a few psukim. But the difference is, it's yours. It's Az Yashar Yisrael. Moshe is not involved. It's not with the Rebbe. You did it yourself. This is yours. Not only is it yours, it's also pure life-giving water. And this is what we have to connect to. The song that we have to connect to the most is not Az Yashar. Those are not, when a person is able to experience an Az Yashar type of thing, that's gavaldik. That's great. But with all that being said, that's just getting you ready for the real deal, which is to develop the Shir HaSabe'er, the song of the well. And to be able to find your own voice, to be able to find the strength to claw against, and specifically because of the opposition, that itself is purifying. Although it's difficult, and the amount that comes, that breaks to the surface, is very small. But it's real, it's yours, and it's a chiddush. That's Shir HaSabe'er. Let me end with a quick story. This is a strange story, I'll be honest with you. It just, it happened to me during Mincha, so I figured I'll just say it. I don't really know how to explain it, but it's just, it's one of those meisim. There's a meisim with the Kotzker Rebbe. The Kotzker was once traveling with one of his chassidim, one of his students, and they were crossing over a bridge, like a very narrow, like a footbridge, you know? And evidently on the other side, or to the side, there was a bunch of like geisha, hoodlums, whatever it is, that they were, spitting out anti-Semitic remarks, and they began to throw rocks at the Kotzker and the chassid. And so immediately the chassid is he sees rocks coming, so he ducks down. But meanwhile, the Kotzker is just standing there, just walking through as if nothing's happening. So the chassid says, Rebbe, you're going to get hit by a rock, you have to duck. So the Kotzker says, you're going to get hit by a rock. So the Kotzker says, there's no rocks, there's no shkatsim. What do you mean, there's no rock? So he said, trust me, if you take my word for it, we're going to go over to them, and you're going to see how beneath, it looks like they're wearing coats or whatever they're wearing, beneath their coats, you'll see tachrichim, you'll see shrouds. These people are not of the living. They've passed away who knows how long ago, but they're somehow, whatever this means, stuck in limbo, whatever it is, and they think they're alive, but they're not really. There's no shkatsim, there's no rocks. It's all just an illusion. So the chassid is like shocked by such a thing, but he says, okay, the rabbi said, so he gets up and they walk over and the taka they see, like the rocks are coming, but they're not being hit by them. And so they walk over to these guys and the taka see that they're wearing shrouds. So the chassid had an interesting question to the kotzker. He says, Rebbe, if you ask these guys, are you alive? They'd say, of course we're alive, but they're really not. So now the chassid has a very difficult question, which is, so how do I know that I'm alive? Right? Maybe I'm also stuck in some, in my own head or whatever. How do I know I'm alive? So the Kotzker said like this. Kotzker said, if you've ever experienced clawing your way against gravity, if you've ever experienced a failure and getting back up, that's a simon that you're alive. So he said. But if you've gone through life without any other opposition and never finding that energy to at least want to get back up, then Yitaka might be amongst those people that are not so alive. As you said, that's the definition of life. That's why the waters of a spring are called Be'er Mayim Chayim. What makes them alive? It's not a it's not a kunst to go with gravity. The kunst of to be alive is to go against gravity. And when you go against gravity, the part of you that makes it all the way to the surface might be very, very small, but it's alive. It's real, it's authentic, it's a chiddush. So Hashem Shalom, we should be able to find our chiddush, to find that part of us which is authentic and alive and healthy and well. And if we are able to somehow emerge, and cross the finish line, again, scraped and bruised and all that stuff, but if we eventually make our way across the finish line, well, we can't imagine how much nachas ruach we're going to be able to give the Rabbanu Shalom. Hashem Shalom, we should be zeichah to see with our own two eyes the full redemption of our people, where we'll be able, as the Torah promises, to be able to sing a shir chadash to Hashem, a shir of life, of exuberance, of authenticity. Thank you, Hashem. Thank you, Hashem.